You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome into the program on what is going to be a momentous day, because last night it finally happened. We got the word that Texas and Oklahoma are coming in earlier rather than later. Yep, the news broke yesterday, and we have been waiting on this for some time. Oklahoma and Texas will join the SEC in 2024. July 1st is the official date, reported at $100 million, the final arrangement between the two schools and the Big 12. Of course, they will play in the Big 12 this year, of course. We'll have a lot more to say about it, including a conversation in 2 hours with the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey. But we begin by saying hello to the vice president and athletic director at the University of Texas, joining the SEC, Chris Del Conte. Chris, thank you very, very much. I'm only guessing that you feel pretty relieved today that you can finally start moving forward. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my friend. As they say, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, we hope it's the first of many. And when we heard the news a year and a half ago now, we were really excited, couldn't wait to get this started. I know the same probably went for you, but what has this been like, trying to do a lot of dancing around legal matters, trying to do the right thing for everyone, and then finally get this news yesterday?
No decision's ever made in a vacuum, Paul, and I'm really proud of our chairman of the board, Kevin Altife, our president, President Hartzell, for the leadership they displayed in the opportunity that provided us to move to the Southeastern Conference. For us to have a chance to play our old rivals in terms of A&M, Arkansas, and the storied programs within the SEC. You may or may not know this, but we are one of the original members of the Southern Intercollegiate Athletics Conference at the turn of the century, in the early 1900s. So for us to be coming back home, and the teams that are there and the brands are there, we're just beyond excited for that opportunity. So, 24 lines up perfectly well in terms of USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, the expansion of the playoffs. It's just the right time, and I can't thank Commissioner Yormark and for his leadership in terms of trying to find an opportunity that worked for all. He was leading the charge to make sure that something like this was to happen at the right time. It just fell into place for us at that time. As we know, we were committed to staying till 25, but it just worked itself out, and here we are. We can't wait, but we have a lot of business to take care of. We have 16 months left in the Big 12, and we're going to be great partners and try to win as many championships as we can before we head off to the SEC.
Yeah, that is certainly. It's interesting to hear that attitude, because, as you know, Chris, sometimes when this did happen, there were a lot of bad feelings. And I don't know. For one, I'm glad to sit here on a late winter day and hear some optimism among conferences, as opposed to some of the things that we heard back then. In terms of getting ready, I know I read where you were. You and Joe Castiglione were at the AD's meeting with others in New Orleans the other day. I mean, there's a lot to figure out. Talk a little bit about your role in trying to help everyone else figure this thing out that's equitable for everyone.
Well, I think when you're looking just, it's like the first day of school. We're pledges right now. So we're just listening and learning. For us to go to the meetings, we're just kind of listening to Commissioner Sankey, what he does and how we're going about it. There's so much work to be done. No different than Tom Brady saying he's going to go work with Fox in 24. He's going to take the year to look, listen, and learn. We're in the same boat. We have a lot of things to do, but at this point in time, we're just at the beginning stages. We've been really focused on our time in the Big 12, and we'll continue to do so. But as we continue to get invited to meetings, we'll get to get more involved in what the rollout will look like. But that'll be at the hands of Commissioner Sankey. We'll just be a participant until we're a full member.
Chris, I know for even predating your arrival from TCU, there's always been that conversation about A&M. You may have already alluded to it a minute ago, but is that something that's important to you as the athletic director of Texas to seeing A&M back on the schedule on an annual basis?
Well, and I think you think about Auburn and not playing Alabama, was it for 40 years? You know,
yeah.
For 40 years, I won
exactly.
This huge stretch. You never imagine that. I think what makes college so great is the rivalries, those deep-rooted family rivalries that last a lifetime. You cherish, you know, your mom and dad took you, their parents took them, your grandparents. And when you can see the rivalries of schools and what it means to them, those are so important. For us not to play A&M, for these years, it's just sad. It's ludicrous. I feel bad for the state of Texas. I feel bad for our fan bases. But the same thing when Arkansas, not playing Arkansas, you know, Coach Royal, and they retired on the exact same day, Coach Royal and Coach Broyles. They had this storied history in the 60s, playing for national championships, the greatest game in the century. You start to think of all those things. So us to go back and rekindle this game on an annual basis, I just think it's great for college. It's great for our community. So rivalries, in my opinion, really matter in sport. And to be able to keep the Oklahoma game in Dallas, that's as a rival, and go back and rekindle those old relationships, it's just exciting time.
Chris, it's a good problem to have, but Texas, you have A&M, you mentioned Arkansas, you mentioned Oklahoma. There's only so many games you can play, though, however you guys figure this thing out. But I'm assuming that you can't let the Oklahoma game get away either, can you?
Oh, of course not. But I don't forget you throwing our helmet there when we played Arkansas a couple of years ago. So I can't wait to get you back on Texas soil.
Right? Hey, by the way, every time I go to Arkansas, they say that somebody sent us the bill for that. I apologize now that you're part of the SEC. I didn't mean anything by it.
It does not go unnoticed, my friend. So you know, we have a pretty good welcome. Okay.
Well, we only play it I think every hour, Chris. So we might reconsider how we do the opening of the show. But let's talk a little bit about this next year for you. And you've been very upbeat about what you said. It would seem from a distance to be a little bit awkward. But how are you going to navigate, and as well as Oklahoma, this next calendar year playing in the Big 12?
I think we're one of the original members, and you know, in college athletics, changes always happened. You know, you can think about Tulane was a member of the Southeastern Conference way back in the day. You can look at Chicago as a member of the Big Ten. There's always shifts and changes, and you know what? We're gonna support the Big 12 this year. We're gonna compete to do our best of our abilities. We're gonna try to win championships. But the announcement was a year ago. That was the sting when we first announced. We played this past year, and we're gonna go in this year and do our best to be a great member of the Big 12 and compete at our highest level. That's our responsibility, and that's what we should do.
We talk often here about football, but I know that Texas has excelled in so many different sports, both women and men. I mean, literally across the board. What does it mean? What will it mean to your overall program once this calendar changes and we get into 2024 and you're a member of the SEC?
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. As you know, one of the things we really pride ourselves on is being a broad-based program. And for us, we're the first program to win back-to-back Director's Cups for the very best overall athletic program in the country. We finally unseated Stanford, who had a stronghold on that. So when you think about how strong we are across the board, on all of our sports, and to go into the Southeastern Conference with a great teams across the board, it's just going to continue to rise up our competition. And hopefully that we bring something to the table for everyone in the league as well. And you know, Oklahoma has a deep athletic program too. But for us, competing on such a national scale across the board in all of our sports, and joining the SEC, I think it'll be a great for everybody. We know football is king, but at the end of the day, I know those ADs in the room, and they pride themselves on having great athletic programs in every sport. So it should be fun.
Well, speaking of football, Texas this year heads to Alabama. Of course, that game last year was such an epic event. I mean, the game was great, but just the surroundings around it really made for a very memorable opening, second weekend, I should say. Chris, thank you for making time. I know it's a busy time for you, but we really are thrilled that you were able to find time to come on here today, and we can't wait to expedite this as you we get closer to July 1st, 24.
Appreciate you, my friend. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Chris Del Conte, the athletic director of the University of Texas. We'll talk to Trey Burton. Remember the Philly special a couple years ago in the Super Bowl? He'll remember that as we look ahead to Sunday. McMurphy on what the alignment could look like in the SEC, and the commissioner, Greg Sankey, joining us a little bit later on. Your phone calls are next. We are off and running here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. How about Chris Del Conte, the athletic director of Texas, remembering the Texas helmet throw at Fayetteville a year and a half ago? Wow. He said that did not go unnoticed. I don't know. I mean, other than the fact we play it every day here in the opening, I wonder how somebody could have missed it. Let's check in with Dustin in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. Brother, I can't believe you got hit with a BOFA at the end of yesterday's show. You should have told that guy that your favorite team is the Birmingham Ligma.
You're right. I should have.
Listen, man, I got us into a bit of a pickle yesterday. I didn't mean to, but the theme of this call is going to be mea culpa. So I'll just run through it real quick, and then I've got a personal invitation for you here at the end. So we'll just do it like John from Louisville and plow through the agenda. AJ, if you're listening, man, please accept my sincere apology. I in no way meant to besmirch your mother or her memory. So to you and your family, this is not a joke. I'm not setting it up for a joke later. Sincerely apologize.
By the way, Dustin, you may not be, but I am. Well, I mean, I apologized yesterday to this guy, and by the end of it, I wanted to take it back.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm going with the second apology. The second apology is to you. Paul, to you and your listeners, I inadvertently roped you into a joke that was middling at best. It was worth a quick chuckle and a move on.
That's okay.
I had no idea.
Well, I will tell you, rarely does a caller completely make me cause vertigo.
Right.
But that guy did yesterday. I mean, it was a bad call that went. They got worse, and then it became.
It did get worse.
I mean, we went to DEFCON 5, and we were about at 1 when finally I just had enough.
Well, you hung in there like a champ. You took the abuse that honestly probably should have been mine. So for throwing you in that trick bag, I'm sorry. That was certainly not my intent. I kind of view this as like a locker room of sorts where there's a few belligerents running around, and we all kind of pick on each other, but at the end of the day, it's all fun and games.
I will tell you this, though, Dustin, and you always hate to see somebody completely just die. But
yeah,
by the end of the call, it was like watching that comedian on open mic night that where he's so bad it became funny.
Yeah, he was dying a slow death, and I appreciate the way you hung in there and kept asking him if he needed help. I mean, it was entertaining, but still, at the end of the day, personally, I've got a big heart, man, and I felt bad for what I thought.
We appreciate that.
So moving past that, and I mean this very sincerely, this is a personal invitation. I hope you will consider Fayetteville on April 15th. That happens to be my birthday weekend, and it's also Arkansas's red and white game.
Okay.
And that evening, the Diamond Hogs are playing your Volunteers in some baseball down at Baum Stadium.
Okay, that's a good weekend.
So if you can at all make it to Fayetteville, and it's a sincere invite, please come down. I'd love to get to meet you. It'd be a blast to watch the game with you, talk some football, and just hang out for an afternoon. If you can make it,
Dustin,
that would be a blast.
Will put that on my list. Thanks very much for the call. Why do I laugh when I say this guy's name? You think Shlomo is a funny name?
I do, actually. I think it's a hilarious name.
So what happens on Friday night, Shlomo? People are like, good Shabbos, Shlomo?
Perhaps. It all depends on what kind of crowd I'm around.
Okay.
If it's goys or MOTs. Paul, you said you wanted some vertigo, so I came to deliver.
Please.
Before I do that, I just want to congratulate you or the SEC and Oklahoma and Texas on getting that deal done. Not a big fan, but you guys are going to have a lot of fun with Texas fans.
Oh, I can't wait.
One of my favorite.
They are easily the most humble fan base in the SEC now.
Right. So horns down. And I like to draw them in with horns up. You throw the horns up, nice big smile. You let it hang for a second. Horns down. You just watch that joy drain out of their face. It's one of my favorite pastimes. So I wanted to just comment that me personally, I'm going to miss the CBS half-past noon package. I thought they had good games, catchy song. They delivered well. And also, I didn't really mind Gary Danielson. But that is what it is, and I'll miss it.
Well, let me say something to you, Shlomo. Everybody wants to own a piece of real estate that's valuable. You own the only piece of real estate consisting of someone who's going to miss Gary Danielson.
Well, Paul, I'll check out and I'll just say, don't take away my losing. It's all I have left.
All the best. Thank you very, very much. How about Joe in Little Rock? Hey, Joe.
Paul, it's a real honor, first of all, man, to speak with you. I've been either watching you or listening to you for a long time.
Well, that means a great deal. Thank you.
I used to just think that your show was just for the old folks, but now that I've gotten old, I think I was right. Because I enjoyed the heck out of your show, man. But I was calling because the Texas guy was just speaking about the rivalries that they've taken away from us. And I'm being an Arkansas fan, they took LSU from us in football and just replaced them with Mizzou. The worst part about it, Paul, is Mizzou's kicked our teeth in for the last 5 years. So yeah. I want to be mad at it, but at the same time, we can't beat them. But, man, I do miss that rivalry between LSU. That was a really important game. Like, around here, people would call off work or go to school because it was generally the day, the game, right after Thanksgiving. It was always on a Friday. It was always on the Friday after Thanksgiving, man. And that used to be I didn't care as long as we beat LSU. And now that's all out of the window, man. I don't know, Paul. But, man, like I said, it's an honor speaking to you. I'm a first-time caller. And, man, y'all have a great weekend, man. Have a great Super Bowl weekend.
Joe, thank you. It was a pleasure having you visit with us. So let's continue. Rick in Houston. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Well, hey, you and I have something in common. We both lived in the wonderful metropolis of Shreveport, Louisiana.
Wow.
But that was...
That was a brief visit for me, but very memorable.
Yeah, I tell you, I love the place, but I'd never move back. Listen, the reason I called was to tell you about the greatest bumper sticker I ever saw, and I think you could actually monetize it on your show.
Okay.
I went to school in Oklahoma City, a little church school, and was going to work one day, and saw a bumper sticker. It said, "Will Rogers never met Barry Switzer."
That's great.
I think you could take it, you know.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
Could,
you could do that with almost
Will
anyone.
Rogers never met Jim from Tuscaloosa, or change it out for some of your other regular callers that people have problems with.
That is a great line. You can stick that in a lot of circumstances. Who do you think would be the one caller on this show that would be the most disliked to put in the Will Rogers?
I would say Jim, but yeah. You know, some of the new guys kind of get on people's nerves too, like Dustin and is it AJ?
AJ, I think right now, because Jim hasn't called in so long, it's hard to remember why we didn't like him.
Well, you know, if God would ever reach out to Jim and get him to talk about football again, I think everybody would really like that.
He doesn't talk ball.
Yep, we know that.
Well, and you know why he explained that one time. It's quite interesting what he said. Now I'll leave it to him to ever explain again. Matt is in San Antonio.
Hey, brother, how you doing? I want to clarify what I was trying to say about the top five car about that wussy AJ. Look, AJ, look what I did to Jim. He's calling this show saying, "I'm the king." Oh, yeah, you're such a king. I dethroned him. AJ, you want to get in the jungle with me? I'll do the same thing I did to Jim. I will spit you out. Chew you out, and we go crying back home to your mama. You are getting in the ring with this champ because the only thing you'll be doing is crying back home. So why don't you shut the heck up? You don't want to take me on in the phone, dude. AJ, I did the same thing to Jim. I'll do the same thing to you. And I want to say something about OU in Texas.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know, promise it, but at the same time, bring it, Longhorns.
Did you hear Del Conte say he wants A&M back on the schedule?
I know he does, and I do want Texas back on the schedule too. You know what? They think we're Trump. They think they own us. Not anymore.
I hate to break it to you, Matt. You lost 7 games a year ago. We'll take a break. We'll talk a lot more about the Oklahoma-Texas admission for real now. Into the SEC. The commissioner will join us in about 90 minutes. We'll also get a breakdown on what it could look like a little bit later on. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we welcome all of you back as we continue to talk about the Super Bowl Sunday. And, man, the SEC's got a number of players that will be in the game. 22, a full team. Speaking of the Super Bowl, Trey Burton is still remembered quite fondly in Philadelphia for what he did in the last Super Bowl involving the Eagles. Trey, it's great to see you, the former University of Florida player, and obviously many years in the NFL, including the Super Bowl just a few years ago. How are you, first of all? Good afternoon.
Paul, all is well, man. How are you?
We're doing great. I think already this week I've seen your play from 17 a million times. I know that you're living your life. You're doing various things, but do you think you'll ever be able to, or do you really want to ever outrun what happened the last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl?
No, never want to outrun it. You know, the city of Philly deserved everything they got, you know, that year, and it was a lot of fun.
You've been asked this, 10,000 times about the Philly special. Can you I know you'll be asked again before the game, but what happened? I mean, how did it come about?
Yeah, so we were the number one overall seed that year, and I remember during the bye week, during the playoff bye week, they asked us if we, all the coaches, to find a trick play, basically, go through the college ranks, go through the NFL the whole season, and find one trick play that we can carry out through the playoffs. And the offensive coordinator, who is now in Jacksonville, Press Taylor, who was like a coaching assistant, quarterbacks coach at the time, and has worked his way up now. He found the play somehow. I think Boise State might have ran it, or somebody else might have ran it in the college ranks. And we practiced it, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks until the Super Bowl, and that's when Doug decided to call it.
And at one moment, did you going into the game, did you think it was going to happen, or was there a reasonable chance of it?
Yeah, you know, we've been practicing it for weeks, and the first round of the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs, the third round of the playoffs, I was standing right next to Doug whenever we had an opportunity, or I thought we had an opportunity to call it, you know, just, you know, kind of nudging him along, like, hey, let's do this. And then when the Super Bowl came around, it's like I just lost my mind. I had no clue that it was even an option, and which is probably better for myself, because if I would have known and thought about it during the whole time out, I probably would have screwed it up. But, yeah, I just had no clue, and Doug called it, and we just kind of ran with it.
Did you? I've always been told the best plays are the ones you don't think too much about. As you
for
go
sure.
back and watch it 8 million times since, as the city of Philadelphia has as well, how would you critique your own play other than the fact that it was successful?
Oh, it was money, bro. That's all that matters. You caught it. It was a touchdown. Nothing else matters.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Just explain to the non-Philadelphia world the psyche of being a Philadelphia Eagle and what it means. I mean, I've seen it from a distance. I know a lot of friends who experience it, but it seems almost unique to just about anything else.
Yeah, it's one of the only organizations in the NFL that is comparable to the SEC, you know, in Florida and all the great teams in the SEC. They're super passionate, as blue-collar as it gets. They love their football. They just want you to take ownership, you know, whether you do well or you do wrong, or you screw up, or you score a touchdown, just take ownership, love the city, and they'll love you right back.
Trey, there's a million stories about Philadelphia fans, and it isn't folklore. It's fact that 40 years ago or so, Santa Claus got booed at an Eagles game. I mean, are they really that tough on the players, or is that just a myth?
Yeah, my welcome to Philly moment was my first game ever of my rookie year. And I wasn't playing. I was like a backup on special teams, but I dressed out for the game. And one of the guys that I was a backup of got hurt early on. So I ended up basically playing the whole entire game. But going into halftime, we're playing Jacksonville in Philadelphia. And I remember going into the tunnel at halftime. We're losing. It was like 14-0 or 17-0. And I'll never forget it. They're booing us, cussing us, throwing stuff at us, and I'm thinking, like, damn, we're, like, you know, in New York, or we're in Dallas playing, you know, a rival. But no, it was our own fans. They just expect greatness. They want us to win, and they just love that football, and they love that city so much.
I know you've moved on from there, and so has Doug Peterson, but as you look at this team right now, and certainly you have to start with Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, so many other players that we're familiar with here in the SEC. How would you characterize what they've done this year, and really the whole Jalen Hurts story?
Well, I think it always starts up top, you know, with Nick Sirianni. I was with him in Indy, and just the culture he's brought over there, just the way he's changed that organization, from him to his coordinators to his assistant coaches. They've just done a phenomenal job of, you know, bringing in the right guys. Same with Howie Roseman, bringing in the right guys, and obviously the players are playing really well. It's amazing what happens when people buy into a system, and a good system with good people around it. And so it's extremely impressive. You know, I love seeing all the old guys that I played with, you know, Brandon Graham and Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson. And, you know, there's a bunch of them that are still there. And those are the guys that kind of make the team tick. And it's fun to watch. And obviously they were big time leaders when I was there, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And they got a really good chance this year.
with Trey Burton. Trey, let me go back to your days at Florida. You came, I believe you played the last year under Urban Meyer and then the transition that occurred. First of all, what was it like playing for Urban Meyer?
It was tough, difficult. He demanded a lot. You know, it was my freshman year, so I didn't really know what to expect. And I think my high school coaches did a great job of preparing me for, you know, SEC football, but there's only so much they can really do. And so, yeah, I mean, I love Urban. He gave me the opportunity. You know, I had nothing but great things to say about him, but that doesn't mean it was easy by any means. And I enjoyed my time at Florida, and I think, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Speaking of the Gators, I do want to ask you, because it has been a rough ride here in recent years. I realize you're not there, but what do you think about the future under Billy Napier?
I absolutely love Billy. You know, I think to a degree, Florida has some of the most unrealistic fans in the country, and they can't expect a guy to bring in players or keep players from former staff, you know, and completely change it around with the same exact people that he had, that the former head coach had the year before, and then all of a sudden win or be in contention for a national championship. Obviously, expectations are always really high at Florida from, you know, being a premier university in the country. And I think, you know, if we give this guy time, he's going to do unbelievable things, and he just continues to impress, you know, throughout. And not necessarily everything you hear or see or read in the news or on TV, you know, it's true. So just give the guy time. He's a phenomenal person. You couldn't ask for a better leader for the University of Florida. And I think great things are ahead.
Trey, before you go, I'd like to talk about your own career. You had a really interesting career. We talked about your most famous moment. I know you haven't played in a year or two, but are you done, or do you still hope to perhaps come back again?
Yeah, you know, I'm in a super unique situation. I'm not done. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take a unique and special opportunity for me to, you know, go out and play again. But I'm just enjoying my time with my family, you know, my kids. I got three of them now, and they're just in everything. I'm heading tonight to a gymnastics meet down in Charlotte, Florida. And I'm having a lot of fun, you know, being a dad and being around their sports and their activities. And it's been a blast.
Well, enjoy the meet tonight, but also be prepared to continue to see your Philly special play all weekend long on TV, because I don't think anybody's done with it yet. Hey, thanks for dropping by. What a pleasure to see you.
Paul, anytime, man. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Trey Burton, part of one of the most famous plays in Super Bowl history. We'll take a break. What a first 40 minutes or so. We had Chris Del Conte, Trey, and, of course, Matt from San Antonio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here on a busy Friday afternoon. And let's continue with John up next. Hey, John.
Hey, TGIF. And by the way, we now have two caller competitions. One is, of course, who should get the largest NIL deal. And now you have who has Will Rogers never met. So you have the best and worst.
Will... True. I'm stumped trying to figure out which one we need to get to first. But go ahead, John. I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. It's one, you know, that Will Rogers joke is one that your kids will never get.
No.
It ages us rather quickly. A great opening interview with the Texas AD, and he's got that typical kind of arrogance or bigger appetite. He wants Arkansas, Oklahoma, and his little sister on a annual basis. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't ask for a special dispensation or disposition that he could get Alabama, Alabama, Tennessee, and LSU as well. He sounded like a Texan, didn't he?
Oh, big time. And I did enjoy the interview. He's a nice gentleman. And we had talked earlier in the week, Paul, about Fox having or maybe being the blocking point on getting the deal done. And then you read, I think it was with Pete Thamel, that a lot of that $100 million ransom fee is going to Fox. And Fox also has demanded, and they're going to flip the Texas-Michigan game that was scheduled in Austin. It's
correct.
Going to be played next year in Ann Arbor. So,
Fox is
making out big time.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And you knew that television was at the bottom of all this. I'm trying to figure out what happened in a week. Remember Thamel's report last week? It was over. No walking
it was
back.
Dead.
And that seemed to me like that was... there was an agenda. That was an agenda-based piece right there.
Well, it tells you it's the networks more than the NCAA
yes.
running the show, doesn't it?
And who got credit today? It was that wonderful commissioner of the Big 12, Brett Yormark, who helped make all this happen.
Mr. Circus Man, right.
Exactly.
Hey, Paul, what do you think the possibilities are that Pac-12 brings in SMU and San Diego before they get a media deal done? Do they need to do it that way?
Because that league, as you know, John, is desperate. And I didn't count on this happening, but clearly among the Big Five, the commissioner of that league is as close to being underwater as you can get.
Big Ten. Hey, last question, Paul. Who should be the next Big Ten commissioner out in Big Ten territory? I know they're talking about the Ohio State AD, but I think it would be wonderful if they brought back the ACC commissioner. I mean,
Jim Phillips would be a good, really good choice. I think he's clearly in the running, and I think Jim would have to look at it and go, what can I do in the ACC right now? He's handy. He's handcuffed there by deals because of the prior guy. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Beth is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Beth.
Hi, Mr. Paul.
Hey there.
I want to just tell you before I start, I'm not including you in any of this because you're smart and married to a doctor, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you.
I remember, I'm so old, I remember when MRIs first hit the scene. Do you remember that?
I sure do.
Well, and another thing, back in those days, we didn't have computers at our desk, and we had to dictate and send them to transcription. Did you ever have to do that?
I've never had a job important enough where I had to do that.
Oh, I wasn't important. But anyway, it just cracks me up the way these broadcasters...
No, I know what you're talking about.
I know. They throw
always,
around
what do they call
like
those?
They
I always hate
something.
To say this, because if you say this quickly, it sounds wrong. But were those, to do that, did you use a dictaphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that after two beers.
No. Well, let me tell you something. When MRIs, I was dictating a report. I worked in disability claims. And somebody had an MRI, and it was so new. I put MRI, and then in parentheses, I put magnetic resonance imaging.
That's funny.
And I should have spelled it. I always used to spell words I thought they weren't familiar with. Well, when my report came back, it said magnetic resonance like a house and imaging like a woman's name.
Oh, my goodness.
I to this day,
no,
I
never
will
got Blue Cross to pay for an
that.
MRI.
Do what?
I said, I wonder why I never got Blue Cross to pay for my MRIs. You were doing the dictating.
Well, anyway, Paul, I just thought that was funny. I get tired of hearing all these people sling around MRI, and I don't know how many of them. Well, of course, I know what it stands for, but I don't really understand it either. But I don't even know if they know what it stands for.
So it stands for magnetic resonance. Resonating, resonant Imaging.
Yeah, that's okay. It. Not okay. Residence Imaging.
Now, I do like that name, Imaging. Did you ever know anybody named Imaging?
That was just funny.
I didn't either.
What?
There, by the way, there is a song named there is a song named Beth.
By Kiss. Oh, is
it? Kiss did that song.
Oh, was it by Kiss?
Oh, yeah. Don't you remember that song?
Beth? Beth, I hear you calling or something.
Beth,
like that.
I hear you calling, yeah.
There you go.
Man, you're a child of the classic rock era, Beth, I can tell.
Well, I'm a child of earlier than that, but
oh, okay.
Anyway, Paul.
I'm all shook
thanks
up.
Thanks for your time, and I enjoy talking to you.
Well, Beth, thank you very much for calling. Beth, I guess if your name is Beth, you probably know the lyrics of Beth by now, don't you? That's not like a... Like, if your name is Rhonda, you probably had 100,000 people say, help me, Rhonda. Susie Q.
Oh, Susie Q.
Yeah, Julian. What's the Hall & Oates song?
Sarah.
Sarah, right.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.